Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
The Word of God today. While you're standing, I told a friend of mine that's a Detroit Lions fan this week. I said, man, Matt Stafford playing in the Super Bowl and Eminem performing at halftime. This is the closest Detroit will ever be to a Super Bowl. Any Detroit fans in the, still here? If you're, how many of you are pulling for the Rams tonight? How many of you are pulling for the Bengals tonight? How many of you don't care, you just want to watch commercials and eat? Yep. Yep, that's how we are. You say, Pastor, why aren't you wearing a jersey? Because I didn't try it on until 3 minutes before service, and I looked like a sausage, so I had to take it back off. Hebrews 11:1. We're going to preach this week, and then next week, right along with our faith series, Dr. Duplantis will be here, and then I'll pick this up 2 weeks, and we'll finish it 2 weeks from today. But I'm excited about faith in action. Faith it. Hebrews 11:1. It's where we've been the last 7 weeks. Now faith, not tomorrow, not March, not January. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you got to faith it until you make it. Turn to somebody else, your second choice neighbor, tell them you got to faith it until you make it. You may be seated. Last week when I was praying for people right at the end of service, it was just God just dropped one of those phrases. I said, man, you got to put some faith on it. You got to put some faith on it. When you have a need, you got to put some faith on it. When there's something, a prayer, you better put some faith on your prayer. And for some reason, the devil works crazy. When I was thinking about it this morning, that you got to put faith on it, my mind went back 1995 to that song, I Got Five on It. Which is a drug reference, so it's not something that should be popping into your mind. Yeah, I'm worried about some of us tonight, y'all, at halftime. I'm worried that a lot of us are going to have to pray through next Wednesday and Sunday, because when Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg get up, if you're not careful, you're going to go all the way back. Da-da-da-da-da, it's the one and only. No, I'm just kidding. See, some of y'all got more hype for that than all the worship that just went ahead. We'll get there in a little bit. Somebody say, get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. And this is a hope and a faith series, because hope is the foundation to which we are able to stand on and declare and believe on faith, in faith, for Jesus to do exactly what he said he would do. Last week, we talked about faith is not something only that we have, but faith is something that we do. That there is a distinct difference between faith and belief. Belief is the thought of something, but faith is the action. The Bible says that even the devils believe and tremble. But what separates us from the devils is that we believe and we walk in faith. That when we leave this building today, we are not leaving our faith at this address, but we literally take faith in Christ wherever we go. Isn't that a great testimony that tomorrow at your job, no matter what happens, Jesus is there because your faith is there? Isn't it awesome that your faith allows Jesus to show up at the doctor's office, show up at the lawyer's office, in times when you are attacked on days that aren't Sunday, in times that aren't between 11 and 12:30, that you got Jesus and all of heaven's authority and power that can show up any moment because you have faith in him? That's the difference between belief and faith. I believe that faith in Christ and his word is one of the greatest gifts and weapons that God has given us. That faith in Christ and his word is the key to bringing into reality, and we'll get to that in just a minute, what God has promised. Mark 11:22, Jesus answered and said unto his disciples, have faith in God. Having faith is where it starts. Having faith. Having it, that's that noun, something we have, something we hold on to. But James goes on to tell us in James chapter 2, verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So this faith now becomes not just something we have, but it becomes something that we do. You know, there should be a physical, something we can see your faith doing every single day of your life. It should not be something that you have to tell everybody about. It should be showcased in our life in such a way that when people see us, not only do they say there's something different about that man or that woman, but I believe they say, there goes somebody that when they need God to show up, man, he shows up. You should be that person on your job, at your school, on your team. You should be that person in your family that they might be living and wilding out, living like hell all year long. But when they need something, they don't call cousin Ray Ray and everybody else. They call the person they know has faith in God and can pull heaven down to where they are. Faith that refuses to work, it dies. We talked about that your faith matters. I love the faith of Living Way. I love the faith of worshipers. I love the faith of Bishop. I love the faith of Jesse Duplantis. But at the end of the day on Monday, when I'm by myself, their faith is not going to do much for me. But my faith in Jesus, my faith in his word gives me something that when it is just me going toe-to-toe with the adversary, I come out swinging and we come out winning in Jesus' name. Hebrews 11:1 in the New International Version says this, now faith is confidence. Don't you love confidence? One of the things I love about certain men and women in sports is I love confidence. See, a lot of it's arrogance because it's putting their faith in their abilities, but I love somebody who's shocked when they lose. I love somebody who's shocked when it doesn't turn out the way that they had it planned to turn out. You know, we as believers should be shocked when God's promises don't show up tomorrow. We should be shocked when it doesn't happen like God said it would happen. And so now faith is confidence, a full trust, knowing in what we hope for, and having an assurance. That word assurance in the Greek means this, a guaranteed. I haven't followed it much this week. I don't know if any coach or player tonight is guaranteed the win, but that puts a lot of immense pressure on every play and on every person on that team. But you know what I love about God? The pressure is not on us. The pressure is on him. And God doesn't feel the pressure. God doesn't wilt under pressure. God does not hide from the pressure. Why? Because God, Jesus is Word. The Word is Jesus. And when God has spoken, he guarantees that it is going to come to pass. That means if God has guaranteed his Word to fruition in your life and it hasn't come to fruition in your life, it's not a God problem. It's an us problem. It's a we problem. But as I like to say, that is not us. We are not those people. Living Way is full of faith people. Living Way is full of people that not just talk the talk, but we walk the walk. We hope for, we have an assurance, a guarantee. That word assurance means a surety. That word assurance means a positive declaration about what we do not see. I had a question many years ago, and the question was posed like this. Hey, why does so-and-so go to the altar every service? And I said, why do you have a problem with so-and-so going to the altar every service? And they said, if you go to the altar every service, that's a lack of faith. I said, how do you figure that? And they said, oh, you should just pray about the need one time and then just leave it in God's hands. I said, on the contrary, I think every time you hit that altar, it's another statement of faith that, hey, I haven't seen it happen yet, and the devil's been after me all week, but hey, there's a place, and I believe that today is the day. Now is the time. I might be getting a little weary. I might be getting a little weak, but when I show up and I talk to God, whether it's in this altar or in your bedroom, every time I bring that back up to God, God says, hey, I'm working on it. Keep the faith. Keep your hopes up. Get your faith ready because I'm getting ready to do it. I said that to say this. I don't care if you hit this altar every service from now until Jesus comes. Do whatever your faith tells you to do because I want you to get everything that God died to give you. Somebody say faith. Faith until we make it. Hebrews 11:1, one more translation, the New Living Translation. I love this word. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things that we cannot see. Now, hold on a second. Faith shows us. This eye, our spirit. Faith shows us the reality. How many of you are avid dreamers? Just right, every time I go to sleep, whether it's a five-minute nap or it is through the night, I'm going to dream about something. And most of the time, they're silly dreams. And I know I'm dreaming, and it's just so silly, but I have a very active imagination. And there are so many times, even though I knew it was a dream, it was so real. Can I tell you what faith does? Faith makes what God has promised so real that you can see it before you see it. You can smell it before you smell it. You picture yourself holding it before you hold it. Faith shows in reality, hey, this is what I'm working on. This is where I'm taking you. This is what I'm going to do. And it is the evidence of things we cannot see. We see the final product, and God says, I'm going to use things. This ought to bless somebody that you cannot see to bring about things that you can see. What does that mean? We sing the song, even when I cannot see him, he's working. Why? Because God has shown me and he has encouraged me that even when I can't see it, I know that it is on its way. Even when I can't hold it, my faith is not shaken. Why? Because now faith is the reality. He has shown me and you can't talk me out of what God has seen. This is going to help somebody. It's not even in my notes. Let's just drop this out here. Most people try to talk you out of your dreams, your vision, and promises based on what they can or cannot see. They didn't dream the same dream you dreamed. They didn't have the conversation that you had with God. That is why I can stand here, and in the middle of 2022, I know what God has shown me, and some of those visions have not yet come to pass. And I'm sure if I started lofting those dreams and visions out, there'd be some people shaking their heads and some people saying, I don't know if that's going to happen. And that's okay. I expect you not to believe because you haven't seen what I've seen, been where I've been, heard what I've heard. But I'm talking to somebody and connecting with somebody who God showed you something and whispered something to you that nobody else was privy to that information, and they've tried to talk you out of it. I'm here to not talk you out of it. I'm here to talk you into it. Hold on, my brother. Hold on, my sister. What God promised, he is bringing to pass. You've got to faith it. You got to faith that reality equals manifestation. Before I get to the Greek of manifest, that manifestation, when I think of manifest, I think of, number one, I think of that show, great show. But I think of the word manifest, that every cruise ship has a manifest. Every airplane has a manifest. But check this out. The manifest is not everyone who booked a flight. The manifest is not everybody who bought a ticket for the cruise. The manifest is every physical body that an agent has seen get on the plane. So when we talk about the manifestation, it's no longer what we hope for. It's no longer what we're praying for. The manifest has already been loaded. It's on the plane headed to your house. It's on the boat headed to your family. And so when we talk about reality, it is already done in heaven, and we believe that it's happening on earth. Oh, I wish we would get our vision ready for what God has sent to us in 2022. Some of your prayers, the flight has already taken off. Some of your vision, the boat has already left port, and it's headed to you and your family. Somebody say, manifest in my life. Isn't that good? It's already loaded. It's already loaded. These are not things that we're just talking about in the spiritual. It's already happening. It's already headed to us. Manifest means to prove. To prove. There's nothing greater than Jesus loves to do in our life than prove that he is God all by himself. Manifest means leaving no doubt. Leaving no doubt. Leaving no questions. Write this down if you're taking notes. If you're going to be a person of faith, faith leaves no room for questions. Every question you ask is a wasted breath and a wasted time when you could have been doubling down and putting faith on it. Anytime that we start asking God questions, God, I don't see how you're going to do it. God, don't you know my family said this? And don't you know that all of my family up until this point has done this? And God, who would you use? And how would you do that? Instead of taking that time saying, oh God, the promises are yes and amen. I remember what you told me. I remember what you spoke into my spirit. I remember when that man of God or woman of God laid their hands on me and spoke that word of confirmation, prophecy into my heart and spirit. I don't see how it's going to happen, but I know, God, the manifestation. Faith leaves no room for questions. Faith only focuses on the answer. How you gonna get there, Jesus? How long is it gonna take, Jesus? You said that doesn't answer the question. Yes, it does. He's Alpha and Omega. How long is it? What if it takes 2 years, Jesus? You said, well, how you gonna get to the second year, Jesus? If you don't give it to me today, I'm gonna wake up, Sister Gloria, tomorrow with my faith on Jesus. You can ask questions, my faith is on Jesus. You can worry, my faith is on Jesus. You can doubt, my faith is on Jesus. No more questions, no more doubt. I'm here to prove God's faithfulness to me by my faithfulness to him. Hope puts it in your vision. Faith puts it in your hand. Hope puts it in your vision. Faith puts it in your hand. Hope says, God, I believe by what you've said this is going to happen. But faith is not just words, not saying, God, this is what I believe. This is part of my vision. Faith says, hey, by the end of this year, I'm going to hold it. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to be living a part of what God has called me to live in. Hebrews 11, 2. Here we go. This verse gets skipped over in our reading of Hebrews 11. Many times we jump right to verse 3. Hebrews 11, 2 says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. I read so much into the text now. I love it. I love reading the Word of God first for my living, not for my sermons, but for my living. I love that the writer of Hebrews, which I believe would be Paul, I love that he doesn't mention the word faith now. The first verse he said, now faith. He doesn't in the second verse say, for by faith. You know what that tells me? This is just a little nugget. That we should already be so locked in with faith that it doesn't even have to be mentioned. That's just who we are. He says, for by it, somebody that's not a student of faith would say, well, what's the it? The it is faith. But most of us, we grew up hearing in a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church, we grew up hearing Hebrews 11, 1, so we already know what faith is. Now faith is the substance of things, hope for the evidence of things not seen. For by it, I don't have to question the it. I know the it is faith. For by faith, the elders obtained a good report. For by it, aka faith, the elders, the mature believers, the ones who came before us. I have it in my notes to make this point right here. Can we just talk about and celebrate the faith of the people that came before us that got us to where we are today? If we could just have a show of hands, how many of you have a praying mama or a praying grandma or a praying auntie or a praying dad? How many of you had a family that took you to church even when you didn't want to go to church? How many of you, when you were lost and you had a drug habit, that you had a mom, you had a dad, you had a pastor, you had a coach that called you, that came to pick you up, that came to pull you out? I am here to tell you,
for by it. I'm here to give some kudos to our Catholic. Some of you were raised Catholic. I love the Catholic Church. Why? They didn't bring you all of the way, but they taught you there's power in the blood. They taught you there's nobody that sacrificed like Jesus. They taught you what it means to go to church. They taught you what it means to observe communion. I know they didn't speak in tongues and bring you all the way, but thank God that they got you open to the things of God, to the person of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for my dad. I'm thankful for my mom. I'm thankful for my mother-in-law. I'm thankful for my great-grandpa, A.D. Varnado. I'm thankful that they didn't settle, but they heard from God. They pushed kingdom forward, and I stand on their shoulders today. Why? By it, my elders, my grandparents, my parents, my faith, my faithful leaders, they obtained a good report. I'm not talking about something that I've heard. I'm talking about something I've seen. I've seen cancers dry up. I've seen prodigals come home. I've seen people on 6, 8, 10 different medications be able to stand up here and say, I'm on zero medication. I preached here when they've laid their crack pipes and crack on this altar. I've seen them rip to shred their cigarettes and throw. What are you talking about? I'm talking about, for by it the elders, by faith the elders obtain a good report. Can I encourage somebody in the room today? There is somebody, maybe you don't even know them, that went to bat for you when you were still yet a sinner. We know Jesus did, but in 2 million people in San Antonio, there's some people. Oh, there's a man named Walter Keiki. Most of you don't know him. He was back here in the 80s. He ran a home ministry of almost 300 people at his house every week. I'm talking about a man that you don't know, but I'm telling you that if it wasn't for Walter, Living Way wouldn't be what it is today. I'm talking for every skinny-legged jean person in the house today. You might not know Warren Inman, but him and his wife have been here 40 years creating a space, building a church so that you and I could grow up and come to and find Jesus. For by it, by faith,
most of my grandparents didn't live long enough to see this building, but by faith, when I hold the mic, they hold the mic. I am who I am because of Jesus and a great holy heritage. And you say, well, my parents didn't do nothing for me. I was the first one in my family saved. Number one, they brought you into the world. That's number one. But number two, there was a host of spiritual fathers and mothers digging something out so that you could say yes to Jesus. Talking and celebrating the faith of the elders, for by it the elders obtained a good report. That word obtained in the Greek means so many things. Obtain means to get. How many of you are ready for the season of get? I know that doesn't preach like fancy. I want the season of get. I want the season where I get what's coming to me, not in a negative way, but in faith, everything that I've been praying for. Can I tell you that one of the things I love since we've been adding new leaders and new staff to Living Way is that's a sign of growth and that's a sign of where we're headed. But I love the fact that we spend about an hour and a half to 2 hours every Monday morning at 10:30 a.m. and we're talking about souls and what we need to do to reach more souls. But all we're praying the prayer of faith. God send us this. God do this. What are we talking about? 2022 with hopes up and faith up will be the year of the get. Can I encourage you? 2022 for your family is going to be the year of the get. It's not just about getting you saved. You're saved. We need to get everything God has promised you. But we can get a whole city saved. But we need to get everything. We got it. The spirit of get. It means to acquire, obtain. They obtained, they acquired. Can I just, I just feel like declaring this. 2022 is going to be the year of acquisition, acquiring. Acquisition is a word they use in real estate a lot. And they use acquisition when they're talking about the holdings of billionaires. Acquisition is not little things. No one right now is saying, I wish to acquire a Big Mac. I'm talking about acquiring city blocks. I don't know if you've been watching Mike Todd and Crazy Faith. You know, like over here, the Forum, they just bought like an entire complex like the Forum. And now they're the landlord. Now heathens are paying ministry millions of dollars in rent a year. And Mike Todd and Transformation Church are taking that money and they're giving it to other churches. They're supporting orphanages. They're preaching and reaching millions, all because somebody said, hey, instead of just talking about paying off our building, let's start claiming other buildings. Oh, IKEA looks like it'd be a great youth building. Wouldn't it be awesome if in the next couple years we say, hey, IKEA, how much you want? We'll give you whatever you need. Why? We need that building. We need all of God. We need all of it. Why? Acquisition. Expectation grows. Acquisition. 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 Homeowners. Acquisition. I'm pointing to me too. Acquisition. That means no more mortgage payment. Acquisition. Acquisition. Right. The greatest acquisition. Souls. Entire apartment complexes coming to Christ. Not one or two that we knocked on their door, but when God starts doing it, they come out by the hundreds out of those units, and God just starts filling them with the Holy Ghost, and God starts healing, God starts delivering, God starts transforming. 2022 is going to be a year of acquisition. Let me get through these final three. This is going to help somebody today because this is the culture now that wants to cancel everybody. It's amazing that in the generation where we are so active against bullying, that we begin to cancel anyone that differs from our opinion. When it says that they obtained a good report, obtain not only means get, not only means acquire, it means validate. 2022 will be a year of validation. There's about four of you that grab that word. You might not know what it means. To validate means that somebody believes in you and somebody puts their stamp of approval right on your life. I'm here to tell you, don't look for validation in men. Don't look for validation in position. Don't look for validation in a certain amount of money. Don't look for validation in a certain career. Don't look for validation in a church house. Look for validation from God. Because once God validates you, everybody else has to at least respect the validation of your life. I am here to tell you, doesn't matter what color you are, what age you are, what gender you are, God is a validating God. Your mama might not think much of you. Your stepmama might not think much of you. Your in-laws might talk mess about you, but you can honestly say, hey, doesn't matter what they say, I've been validated by God. And if God believes in me, then I'm going to believe in me too, and I'm going to walk this out in faith. In faith. Got two more. Pastor Beck, if you'll come, two more. That word obtain means receive. That word receive, we just think, wasn't that like the get? It is. But when I think about receive on today, I think about Odell Beckham tonight as a receiver. Check this out. The coach calls in a play. The quarterback relays the play. Odell doesn't get to choose his route. I'm talking football now. He doesn't get to choose, well, I'm going to run 10-yard post. He does what the coach has told him to do through the quarterback. And the quarterback does not throw the ball to Odell. Matthew Stafford will throw the ball where Odell is supposed to be. For some of you that missed the football analogy, God is our coach. He sent his only begotten son to save that which is lost. Jesus is our quarterback. And Jesus said, I will order the steps of every good man. But you and I have to run his route. You and I have to do it his way. Why? Because God's not trying to bless me and put it to me. God said, this is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going. This is where I'm going to put it. If you don't get to the spot, you'll never be blessed. I'm here to tell you, where you go to church matters. Who you marry matters. What you do with your off time matters. Why? Because we're out here running routes and we're doing our best to get where God has called us to be. Stand on your feet.
I love watching great quarterbacks. Great quarterbacks like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. I love the fact that they're so respected that they will get in a receiver's face in the huddle and say, "That wasn't my fault, that was yours. Get it together." Why? Because quarterbacks can't throw touchdown passes to themselves. Doesn't happen very often. Every once in a while, a ricochet and it happened. But what the quarterback's saying is, hey, when we work together, we get on the same page, everything I'm doing my best to get to you, you're going to catch. And then when you catch, I didn't plan to say this, but let's just go here. Once you catch it, you got to hold on to it. Because everybody on that field is trying to take that ball away. And it's trying to make you fumble and strip that ball out. But in football, you've got 10 people that will block for you. I'm here to block for you. I'm here to say, Jesus, throw them the pass. And I'm going to get out in front of them. That's what Sister Tammy does, and that's what Bishop does, and that's what our prayer team does, and that's what our altar workers does, and that's what Mario and Lauren are doing, and that's what Mandy and I are doing. We're making sure that you get a chance to catch something that God is throwing, but then all throughout the week, we're blocking for you. Hold on. Hold on. The final thing, number five, and we've got people already in this altar, 30 seconds for this. It is possession. Obtained means possession. Possession is 9/10 of the law. You hold it, it's yours. I want to encourage you today. Jesus came to this earth to save our lost souls. Couldn't get there to heaven in a real relationship with Him outside of Christ. But ever since we've gotten saved, we've been possessing, and we're called to possess. I believe Living Way is a blessed church because we have not settled on our lees. We say, man, we're in the upper 1% of every church in the world. But the way I look at it every Monday morning is we've got a couple thousand people that come on Sundays, and man, that's awesome. But out of 2 million, it's a drop in the bucket. We're going after souls to reach and say, God, let's possess more kingdom. Whatever God has thrown your way in 2022 in faith, you've got to faith it. You've got to faith it to possess it. As this altar is filled up with people, some of them for the first time, some of them have been here many times before, some